machine guns. They entered his house and went straight to his room. Once inside, they began ripping through his belongings, seizing his books, his political posters, and finally dismantling his computer, which was taken immediately to federal trucks that were parked outside and had all his information downloaded to government servers and were confiscated. And then they left. His room torn apart, and the life of his friends and his family turned upside down. They left, and he was charged with nothing. It began almost 2 years ago, but it was just the beginning. A month later in February, after his home was raided, Sherman drove 3,000 miles to New York to participate in a peaceful demonstration against the policies of the World Bank and the IMF. Standing in Columbus Circle as the march was beginning, he was again rushed, this time by 20 police officers, and arrested. He was jailed and interrogated without the presence of a lawyer for 30 hours. While inside, he was asked over and over again if he was a terrorist and if he belonged to terrorist organizations. He was released without being charged. It was almost 2 years ago, but it was just the beginning. While waiting for a ride 30 minutes after he was arrested without charge, thinking the worst was over, in the same courthouse where he was arrested and released, he was surrounded again, this time by 6 FBI agents, and arrested. He was grabbed by his neck, thrown into a black SUV, and taken to a federal building where he was placed in a maximum security jail and held for 11 days. He was then taken out of prison in New York and taken to Oklahoma in a federal jail for 2 more days. At this point, you might be asking, what was his crime? Was he a murderer? Did he kill anybody? Or was it that he was a young black anarchist and an activist who refused to be silent? The website that the government has attempted to shut down is called RaiseTheFist.com. It was a website that Sherman ran from his bedroom. It posted information about all kinds of topics, covered all kinds of issues dealing with everything from challenging racism and police brutality to giving a voice to those engaged in the movement to challenge corporate globalization. The site, RaiseTheFist.com, RaiseTheFist.com, one word, also functioned as a host server, providing links to the sites of others. One of those sites, not authored by Sherman, contained information about explosives. Yet it was Sherman, after 2 years of harassment, upending the lives of his family, who was finally charged with distribution of material related to explosives with the intent to use them. He was charged and sentenced for a year in federal penitentiary for having a link to a site which he himself did not author or personally endorse, containing information that could be found anywhere. I mean anywhere. It could be found in libraries, it could be found in bookstores, it could be found on internet book distributors. You could find it on Amazon.com. In fact, several years ago, I found a little cartoon that I found interesting. The first Rage Against the Machine t-shirt that was ever put out had a cartoon with instructions in Spanish on how to make a Molotov cocktail. Looking back, it was somewhat of a silly provocation, but the interesting thing about it was that it was authored by the CIA. These cartoons were used in the training of an unconstitutional, illegal terrorist army known as the Contras, who were responsible for the deaths of tens of thousands of innocent people. Thank you. Tens of thousands of innocent Nicaraguan civilians as the U.S. government, in violation of the highest forms of international law, attempted to seize control of the resources of a sovereign country. A country, by the way, which may never recover from the destruction imposed upon it. I mention this only as a glaring example of the level of hypocrisy that not only runs right through Sherman's case, but is also weaving its way into the fabric of our everyday lives. It's an example of this vicious and repressive political climate set into motion by the Bush administration in the aftermath of September 11th. A climate in which the right-wing violence of the state, for example, the illegal and unjust bombing of occupation of Iraq, is sanctioned in the name of building democracy while simultaneously they destroy it right here. It is in this climate where blind obedience and buying things are equated with patriotism, when being a Muslim is to be considered a suspect. And being a young, black, free-thinking, rebellious, righteous anarchist is equated with being a violent criminal. All of this, of course, doesn't speak to the unjust suffering imposed upon this family. The fear, the harassment, the humiliation, the intimidation, the longing, and the loss. The pain which I'm sure that no words can describe. But it brings up one of the reasons that brought us here, to give our support, our love, our solidarity, to help give them the strength and the courage to continue to fight and bring some justice home for Sherman. The second and equally important reason is to let this fucking government know that they are not going to silence Sherman and keep his case in isolation. The government's case against him is so weak, they thought they could railroad him so long as it was kept from public view. Well, the fact that we're here tonight is proof that they have failed. Word travels fast, and with some diligence and some struggle, justice can't be far behind. I'm going to finish by reading a poem.
Come on, Zach.
What up?
This poem was written by a German poet named Bertolt Brecht. And it was written as the economy of Germany had collapsed and a very ugly face had filled its place. And I think it's applicable to what's going on here. From a German war primer. Amongst the highly placed, it is considered low to talk about food. The fact is, they have already eaten. The lowly must leave this earth without having tasted any good meat. for wondering where they come from and where they are going. The fine evenings find them too exhausted. They have not yet seen the mountains and the great sea when their time is already up. If the lowly do not think about what's low, they will never rise. The bread of the hungry has all been eaten. Meat has become unknown, useless. The pouring out of the people's sweat. The laurel groves have been lopped down. From the chimneys of the arms factories rises smoke. The house painter speaks of great times to come. The forests still grow, the fields still bear, the cities still stand, the people still breathe. On the calendar, the day is not yet shown. Every month, every day lies open still. One of those days is going to be marked with a cross. The workers cry out for bread. The merchants cry out for markets. The unemployed were hungry. The employed are hungry now. The hands that lay folded are busy again. They are making shells. Those who take the meat from the table teach contentment. Those for whom the contribution is destined demand sacrifice. Those who eat their fill speak to the hungry of wonderful times to come. Those who lead the country into the abyss call ruling too difficult for ordinary men. When the leaders speak of peace, the common folk know that war is coming. When the leaders curse war, the mobilization order is already written out. Those at the top say peace and war are of different substance, but their peace and their war are like wind and storm. War grows from their peace, like son from his mother. He bears her frightful features. Their war kills whatever their peace has left over. On the wall was chalked, "They want war. The men who wrote it has already fallen." Those at the top say, "This way to glory." Those down below say, "This way to the grave." The war which is coming is not the first one. There were other wars before it. When the last one came to an end, there were conquerors and conquered. Among the conquered, the common people starved. Among the conquerors, the common people starved too. Those at the top say, "Comradeship reigns in the army." The truth of this is seen in the cookhouse. In their hearts should be the self same courage, but on their plates are two kinds of rations. When it comes to marching, many do not know that their enemy is marching at their head. The voice which gives them orders is their enemy's voice. The man who speaks of the enemy is the enemy himself. It is night. The married couples lie in their beds. The young women will bear orphans. General, your tank is a powerful vehicle. It smashes down forests and crushes 100 men. But it has one defect. It needs a driver. General, your bomber is powerful. It flies faster than a storm and carries more than an elephant. But it has one defect. It needs a mechanic. General, man is very useful. He can fly and he can kill, but he has one defect. He can think. Thank you for listening.